tap or swipe any of your AfterPods 5 times in a month, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to take home and achieve 10 fin in monthly prizes, or walk away with a grand prize of 250,000 kwacha. Saliroku, and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your AfterPod to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. After.
President Hichilema urges Technical Committee on Constitutional Amendment to embrace the divergent views. CEC wins appeal in $29.6 million dispute with KCM. In global news, UN sounds alarm over escalating violence and civilian deaths in Sudan's Al-Fashir. Good afternoon, my name is Constance Mwenzinamwinga with the main news at 13 hours. The details. President Hakainde Hichilema has urged the newly appointed Technical Committee on Constitutional Amendment to approach their mandate with full awareness of the country's current operating environment and the existence of diverse public views. Speaking during the swearing-in ceremony at State House this morning, President Hichilema emphasized that the committee's work must reflect Zambia's diversity and uphold the values of inclusivity. He has noted that government has deliberately paused progress on Bill 7 in response to concerns raised by citizens. The head of state also emphasized the need for the committee to operate with time and cost efficiency and assured them of government's full support as they carry out their mandate. Meanwhile, President Hichilema explained his recent decision to reduce participation in international engagements, stating that the move is aimed at cutting unnecessary expenditure so that more resources can be directed towards critical domestic needs.
We know you discharge your duties diligently. You were carefully selected, recommended by fellow citizens, by the way. The people have bestowed their trust in you, confidence in you, that you are able to discharge your duties. This particular duty diligently. I only ask you, remind you, to take account of the operating environment, that there's diversity out there. And so it should be in a democracy. There are different interests out there. So it should be. And you have to take account of all of these issues in your work. And we know you are capable.
The Court of Appeal has ruled that Konkola Copper Mines, KCM, must treat Copperbelt Energy Corporation, CEC, as a preferential creditor and settle its outstanding debt of over $29.6 million, overturning parts of a lower court ruling that had denied the claim. In its judgment, the Court of Appeal found that the High Court has mischaracterized CEC's claim, allowed defective class constitution, failed to properly disclose related party interests, wrongfully excluded CEC's vote, and did not scrutinize decisive related party debts. The appellate judges ruled that sanctioning the scheme as a mere formality rather than exercising protective discretion was an error, undermining both fairness and statutory safeguards. A three-member bench comprising Justices Justin Chashi, Petronella Ngulube, and Anesi Banda-Bovo emphasized that classes of creditors must be determined by legal rights rather than claim size or commercial interest. The court also criticized the explanatory statement accompanying the scheme, which failed to disclose how related parties acting with both shareholders and creditors could benefit strategically, undermining fairness. The appeal arose from a winding-up petition filed by ZCCM Investment Holdings PLC on May 21, 2019, which led to the appointment of a provisional liquidator tasked with convening creditor meetings and proposing a scheme of arrangement. The High Court judge, Charles Kafunda, had initially sanctioned the scheme on June 28, 2024, treating CEC's claim as an ordinary trade debt rather than a preferential liquidation expense. CEC challenged the ruling on 6 grounds, including the misclassification of creditors, exclusion from voting, defective disclosure of related party interests, and failure to protect its preferential claim in the scheme's sanctioning. In another story, the Christian Church's monitoring group CCMG says it will deploy 336 observers for the upcoming voter registration exercise, which is scheduled to begin on 13th October 2025. Addressing the media in Lusaka this morning, CCMG chairperson Andrew Mwenda has emphasized that a credible voter registration process and a reliable voter register are critical to enhancing the integrity of the electoral process. Bishop Mwenda has expressed optimism that the 2025 voter registration will be transparent, inclusive, accessible and efficient, thereby helping to build broad public trust ahead of the 2026 general elections. He has revealed that observer training has been completed across the country and that CCMG is now awaiting accreditation from the Electoral Commission of Zambia, ECZ. Bishop Mwenda has, however, expressed concern over the delays in the accreditation process, saying despite the ECZ having announced that accreditation would take place between 27 September and 10 October 2025, the process has not yet commenced.
CCMG expects voters will not sell or offer to sell their voter card. But the PAC supporters, that is political PAC supporters or officials, will not buy or offer to buy voters' cards, as doing so is a direct violation of the Electoral Process Act. We expect that there will be strict adherence to the Electoral Code of Conduct by all stakeholders, including citizens, and the ECZ will strictly enforce the Electoral Code of Conduct. CCMG expects that more stakeholders will be involved in not only observing voter registration, but that there will be mass voter education.
In more news, Democratic Progressive Party DPP President Antonio Mwanza has lamented Zambia's over-dependence on foreign investors in key economic sectors, saying the country must strive for self-sufficiency to achieve any meaningful development. Speaking when he featured on the Friday edition of Let the People Talk program on Phoenix FM, Mr. Mwanza said that for as long as Zambia continues to rely on foreigners and foreign direct investment, the nation will not truly own its resources or manage its affairs independently, despite having the capacity to do so. Mr. Mwanza has expressed disappointment that more than 60 years after independence, major economic activities such as mining and construction remain dominated by foreign entities and financing, leaving Zambians as spectators in their own economic affairs. He has since proposed that Zambia should promote local solutions through affordable financing and empowerment initiatives that enable citizens to own mines, establish refineries, and set up processing plants to retain revenue currently externalized.
Foreigners are the ones getting the money. Zambia will remain poor. We also found out that we were over-relying on what is called foreign direct investment. And we realize that the structure of foreign direct investment cannot produce jobs that we need to end poverty. It cannot produce the goods that we need to make Zambia self-sufficient. We want to create 150,000 jobs in the mining sector in 12 months alone through value addition. We want to be producing our own batteries, producing our own copper wires, producing our own mineral products. We don't want to be taking these things outside the country.
And Mr. Mwanza has emphasized the need for Zambia to introduce a digitalized recruitment process for civil servants free from corruption to build an apolitical and efficient civil service capable of driving national development.
We should build on what UNIP did. We shouldn't destroy what UNIP did. The good things that UNIP did, we adopt them. The bad things, we discard them. What MMD did, the good things, we pick them up. And the bad things, we take them away. What PF did, the good things, we leave them out. The bad things, we pick them on. The good things that are happening in UPND, we will sit down and pick some of them. I'll tell you, one of the things that we'll pick and expand is the issue of free education. But we want free education that I enjoyed. The free education where we had books, where we had uniforms, where our schools had teachers, they had teaching implements and learning implements.
We move on to global stories. The United Nations is raising urgent concerns over escalating violence and mounting civilian casualties in Al-Fashir, the capital of North Darfur, as fighting intensifies between Sudanese armed forces and the paramilitary rapid support forces. UN officials accused the RSF of committing serious crimes in